question and answer session with the questions posted online. I know that we've had a few of the questions answered, typed in already, but I'm going to go ahead and I still ask those just to try to get a little more detailed responses. And everybody feel free to continue typing in questions, and we will get through as many as we can. So let me see here. So the first question, I believe it was for Jean-Paul, and that question was, can you please explain what LPI stands for, or what LPI consists of?
Okay, I already provided a link to a detail a web page which provides an explanation in detail, so those of you are interested. But just to summarize, the LPI is a measure developed by the World Bank, and it's been done on a fairly regular basis and by interviewing managers across the world. And it's a composite measure that includes several variables, including customs, including paperwork, how efficient distribution is within a specific in a country. So, again, in a sense, it's done on a regular basis, and it's pretty well, has been well diffused across the world as some kind of a standard, at least some kind of a basic measure we can use to compare countries around the world based upon their logistic performance. But again, it's been also criticized because obviously what happens with a country-wide is nothing to mean what happened at city-wide, obviously.
All right, and if you can explain why we need the LPI and what will be the difference between the KPI and the LPI?
Key Performance Index, by KPI, I will assume. Again, it was an exercise at the start. It's okay, let's look at something which was globally available, and that's why we started with the LPI, because it was available. And obviously, if you want to develop key performance index for city logistics, and we already looked at some today with the other two presenters, you have to look at, such as time for delivery, congestion level, how efficient is the consolidation process. So there's currently some kind of a questioning about how can we measure at the metropolitan level the effectiveness of freight distribution systems. And is it also how much time you wait at the port gateways, how much time a truck spends double park in Manhattan, also could be a KPI. But that's the short people are interested, they want measures, they want to assess it more efficiently, and most of the people involved in this are trying to more or less successfully, I must say.
All right, thank you. And the next question, and I know you also typed in a link for this, but if you could just briefly explain dual freight cities.
Yes, I already posted a couple of photos for those who are interested. Dualism is also characterized a passenger transportation system. You have metropolitan areas, mainly in developing countries, that have the latest technology available, the normal modern freight distribution system, modern container terminals, modern warehouses. And at the same time, you have that whole informal freight distribution system where people are using own account vehicles, most of the time illegal, and from different origin and destinations. They could supply smaller owner-operator shops. And that's what I mean by dualism. While we don't have that much of that dualism in advanced economies, because most of the freight distribution is assumed by the formal sector, registered company, who are obviously abiding to rules and regulations, while in developing economies, that's much less the case. So that's what I mean, dualism.
All right. And another question for you, do cities like London and Paris function as gateway cities for their respective countries, or do they function as gateway cities for the European subcontinent?
Oh, yeah, there's a... most of my work is actually maritime shipping and terminal operations. I see a huge variety of extent or market area of gateways. And to talk to Paris and London, Paris is mostly a gateway for France. That is, most of the freight distribution in France is articulated through the Paris metropolitan area, with of course some exception with Marseille and Le Havre. London, the same story. Most of a great deal of freight distribution in England itself is articulated to the London metropolitan area. Well, if you look at the example of LA, obviously LA, most of the freight going to LA is bound to the region, but also a great share is bound to very long distance destinations. So again, the lesson, the story is the area is very different depending upon which gateway you're looking at.
All right, thank you. I think Chris
one of the issues with that the person asked in terms of cost. But in the other hand, when we are saying about large drop generators, and as I showed, some of those buildings already have a lot of people working on those locations, those are good, specific, strategic locations to place them that will not incur extra cost for the people. You can select it, for example, you work at the Empire State Building, and there's a lockbox, your location is at the building. You can select that one as the delivery point. So you're not actually incurring any extra cost by going there. But also when I was talking about delivery or pickup and drop-off points, I was mostly talking for at the establishment side. What can we do to improve the delivery of the goods that are used at those locations, not mostly on the private goods that you order from home? But both are will be the same answer. You're already there. You're not going to walk extra miles. You're going to go extra places. Just pick them when you're going on your way home.
All right. Thank you. Another question for you, Miguel. What impact does this off-hour delivery have? What impact does this off-hour delivery with distribution channels have on transportation costs?
Well, from our pilot test and all the research we have done, transportation costs will be lower when you do far deliveries. You don't have to deal with congestion at night. You don't have to deal with parking tickets at night. You can find parking at the just in front of the establishment you are trying to deliver to. So the transportation costs will be lower. However, not all the companies will be able to do it. This will need that the customers switch to the night. So there's a break point when it's cheaper for the carrier to switch their operations to the night. And so there is a mix. If you cannot switch too many customers to the night, then having both day and night operations will increase your cost. But in essence, the transportation costs during the night are lower.
All right. This next question, I'm not sure if it's, it might be for Miguel, but I'll actually put it out for all presenters to respond to. Concerning lack of space, this might suggest possible revisions to building approval regulations to require minimum cargo storage space, similar to requirements for minimum number of parking spaces. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
It's Miguel. Yes, we have to look into that, and that we are trying to advocate for changes in regulation in that sense. However, most of the cities, at least in the U.S. and Europe, were built maybe 100 years ago, where you cannot actually go now and do those type of retrofits to the actual buildings. But for new developments, yes, and it's been the planning organizations and are trying to do that.
Anybody else have any thoughts on that? All right. Another question that I'll put out to everybody. Decades ago, Chicago and possibly New York had underground freight rail trams. Do you see any value in trying to resurrect these systems?
I could say something about that, especially to relate to the work of my colleagues in Europe, which have looked at that case, the usage of public transit system for freight distribution, and they all, pretty much all of them have one thing in common, they all went bankrupt. At this point, public transit system, including in that case freight, underground freight rail trams, are very difficult to integrate into some form of city logistics. Eventually, we might develop something which is more efficient, but at this point, it doesn't seem to be cost-effective because you have too many brake loads. You have to break down and then reassemble. Maybe Miguel has something more to add about this, but from what we've seen so far, it doesn't seem to be working.
No, I haven't seen any successful implementation of underground rail systems.
All right. I don't see any other questions typed in. I will give a chance if anybody does want to ask a question over the phone. Melissa, if you could give instructions on how to ask questions over the phone in case there is anybody who wants to do that.
If you would like to have entry question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star one to ask a question. And we do have a question. If you press star one, your line is open.
Hi. Hello? Hi, this is
yes,
Joy.
Hi.
Hi, this is Joy McDermott. I was curious, has any discussion been talking about using transit during off peak?
Put that out to any of our presenters.
Yes, there's not been done right now, but they have been shown tries to use the extra capacity of the transit during the office hours. However, as Jean-Paul mentioned before, when it had been tried on public rail transit, it was too difficult and not commercially viable.
Actually, I can even add that most of the attempts to use public transit system to move freight were actually done during off-peak hours. That was the value proposition, and it didn't seem to have been working at this point.
Thank you.
We have any other questions on the phone?
There are no further questions at this time.
All right. Well, I don't see any other questions typed in, so I'll go ahead and start closing out. But if anybody does think of any additional questions, we still have some time left, so feel free to type them in, and I'll go back to the questions if I see anything else. I do want to thank all of our presenters for speaking at today's seminar, and thank you everybody in attendance. The recorded version of today's seminar will be available online within the next few weeks on the Falcon Freight website, and I'll send out an email once they are available. The next